Welcome to the Bards FM podcast. This is Scott Kesterson, and tonight you're listening to Enough is Enough. Wake up and stand. This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war. Good evening, patriots. And tonight is Tuesday, March 12th in the year 2024. And the issue of President Trump making a position on the Biden claims about the vax, as we went over a couple days ago, has now blown up on the internet, thanks to a tweet from General Flynn this morning and another strong position by Alex Jones. We're going to go over all of that and much more, but it's very interesting. I'm going to break this down into three, what I consider to be three possibilities of why Trump did this. So essentially, no matter where you sit on the Trump spectrum, you're going to be able to say yay. Guarantee it by the time I'm through. For those that are believing in the perfection and glory and brilliance of Trump, you'll have something you can stand on. For those that are frustrated, you'll have something to stand on. And for those that are just shaking their head in disbelief and wondering what's going on, you'll have something to stand on too. So don't worry. Everyone's going to be appeased tonight. Nothing like stepping on the Trump snake and having him bite you, because it does a lot these days. It's crazy. We have a lot of TDS, even within the ranks of MAGA, I'll tell you. All right, patriots, before we get going tonight, here's the thing. We are in a critical time, and we need to be taking care of ourselves as much as anything else. Now, part of that problem that we all face in this day is EMF. EMF is a real critical threat to us, and it is one of these things that we have to try to mitigate as much as we can. There is a new product that's out here, that our new group I'm supporting here, and it's called EMF Solutions. You can find the link below the podcast. And EMF Solutions provides mitigation strategies for EMF in your home. I think this is very important. One of the things they have is what they call the Home Harmonizer, which the Home Harmonizer is a device that allows you to literally reduce the EMF frequencies in your home. These are powerful products. They work very well, and they attach in different locations. This particular one attaches exterior to your, can it attach to your meter to your house to help mitigate this. And they have various other devices as well. Those for your cell phones, those for your routers. They have mats to sleep on. These are very important products, and I'd really encourage you to check it out. EMF is literally one of these things we are faced with most critically. Now, if you just click on the link below the podcast, it'll take you right over there, and that's the link that'll then help this channel as you do that. This is a really good product, EMF Solutions. Dr. Lee Merritt carries them. I'm supporting them now. They're great products to help mitigate the EMF threat in our homes, and it's very important that we have it. EMF, in my opinion, is becoming one of the most critical aspects of this fight. I think when you combine the issues of parasites and EMF, you start to get to the core of what COVID really is. We've talked a lot about that, and I've done some research over this last week, as you know, Resistance Chicks Michelle and Leah's mom was in the hospital for a number of days. There were many things involved in that, but one of the things that came out that was very interesting was the loss of sodium levels. When I started to do this research, and it took me back to looking at radio frequencies back in the Spanish flu, one of the things that came out, first of all, was that there's a congestion issue that happens when radio frequency hits the chest. It's part of it trying to expel the pollutants. What happens with EMF is EMF is very much like radiation. And what radiation does is it can reduce your sodium levels. If you follow the track of reduced sodium levels, lo and behold, what do we discover? Many of those symptoms look very similar to what they call COVID, which we call COVID-con. So it is, in my opinion, one of the critical areas that we have to mitigate in our home. So check it out, EMF Solutions. Follow the link below the podcast. Click on it. Takes you on over there. Check out those products. I would encourage you to get some of them for your home. I think it's very important that we have these to help mitigate that in this time of warfare, which is literally being waged upon us by my favorite group of people, the pedophile, satanic, psychopathic elite. I swear, I'm going to get a t-shirt on something like that. But anyway, there you go. Check it out. EMF Solutions. Follow the link below the podcast and away you go. All right, so here's the deal. If you remember, it was a few days ago. Actually, it was this last week when Biden had his State of the Union speech. President Trump responded with a tweet that embraced President Biden, the derelict and fake president of the United States, the one who is not really him anyway because somebody's wearing a mask to make it look like him, or they've cloned him, or they've got a robot, or all three. Who knows? But the fact of the matter is that the deviant there that is supposed to be and demon that's supposed to be Biden made a claim that we are past the COVID period and that the vaccines are now being used not only to save lives but to solve cancer. All pure 100% mitigated lies. President Trump then took that quote and put it out on Truth Social. And his position on Truth Social was that you're welcome, Joe. And it took us 7 months, would have taken you 12 years. And essentially, but indirectly endorsed what Joe Biden was saying, and of course inflamed everybody at this time, including myself, about the idea of taking a position that in any way would support anything with that vax. He has a history of this from the very beginning of promoting the vaccine. Now, that follows with a post by Alex Jones, which I want you to hear here, and then we'll follow from that.
It's like, well, I'm really proud of this. I'm not going to let Biden have credit for the shot. Trump, it's a lie. The pandemic was not stopped by the shot. Yeah, here's the disgusting clip with him and Bill O'Reilly talking about how great it is from 2 years ago. So the pandemic no longer controls our lives. Okay, yeah, because of the fear and the lies, we exposed it. The vaccines that saved us from COVID are now being used to help beat cancer. So the vaccines didn't save us from COVID, didn't save lives, erase our immune systems, and he says are now being used to help beat cancer. That's their new lie. Oh, the cancer's up. Don't worry. We've got a shot for you that'll make you not get cancer. Good Lord, people. Fine. I support Nikki Haley as his VP. And I think we should all take all the new shots they want to give us with no approval, no study, no research. No, it's terrible. And it really makes me question, because I see them after Trump. I see all the good he's doing. But with crap like this, if I see any more of this from Trump, any more of this, I'm going to have to go on the warpath politically. I just cannot take this. I cannot put my head down on the pillow at night and say that I'm a true person to everybody when I've already held my nose because of the overwhelming good he's doing and all the persecution and put up with stuff like this. It'd be like if your mother created this great Thanksgiving meal and cooked for 2 days to get it ready, and it's this beautiful meal on the table, and your mother comes out and pulls her pants down and shits all over the table. Doesn't matter how good the turkey or the ham is or the stuffing or the collard greens or the sweet potatoes or the salad or the pumpkin pie or the cobbler. Because she just shit all over the table. So, I've done my job. I've been true to tell the truth. I'm really concerned about this because I was feeling good the last year when he shut. Look, if you won't come out against it, when Rand Paul's coming out and everything, at least just shut up. Just shut up. If you won't go after the criminals that did it, I know he got roped in because I know what Trump did. He was like, oh, hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, vitamin D, everything. And he's like, oh, the doctors are great. He trusts them. He trusts the medical system. Bring it in. Let's save us. Oh, the shot's good. And he won't admit he's wrong. And he knows he's getting all this heat for it. Then he sees Biden trying to get credit for it. And he goes, oh, no, Biden, I'm the one that brought that. Okay, man, then it's on you. Because your supporters are sick of it. And they're tired of it. I got so many friends and family that got sick from the shot. Now people that died from it. And the numbers are there.
He's 100% on point. Bez literally scored one of the greatest visuals in history. I swear. I can't even go there. That is like, you will never forget that comment about the shot. Trust me. The problem is that we have to look at this from multiple ways. And I'm going to tonight, and I want you to listen to it because there's a number of ways. But here, let me continue with this. This tweet came from the clip of this went to the account Chief Nerd, goes by @thechiefnerd on X, and that was then retweeted by General Flynn with this comment. And hat tip to General Flynn for doing this. Seriously, has to happen, he says, referring to what Alex Jones just stated. I've lost too many friends to this vaccine, and I'm still watching the devastating effect it is having on our military's readiness. And then he tagged Eric Trump, Dan Scavino, Real Donald Trump, The Clay Clark, Roger J. Stone Jr., and DC Drano. So this is out, and it's continuing, and there's many other accounts that are hitting the same thing. Tom Renz then backed this up today with a tweet from him, or a video clip from him that he tweeted out. And this has continued. And so this thread has continued down. And of course,
it's like, well, I'm really proud of this.
It is really just exposing what the truth is here. Now, here's the three things I want you to look at. And it really comes down to this because we don't know the origins of this. Obviously, the most obvious is that Trump has a major ego. He can't get satisfied. He's an egomaniac. He can't accept that he was wrong. He has to take credit for it and make himself feel good. That is one very obvious interpretation. I'm cautious a little bit on that only because that's also the left's interpretation of Trump, but I'll set it out there as quite possibly true. But nonetheless, that's the left, the way they portray Trump. So it's one of those things to put out there with some caution. There is another interpretation, which is he is part of the problem. And this is where literally my mom scores the kill shot on this one. She asked the question last night, how come the left isn't attacking him for the vax? And it's like dead silence. And it's like, okay, that's like the question of the day. This is his most vulnerable thing, and the left is not attacking Trump on any of this. And that's the kill shot. And it's the one that I'm putting out there in front because the question one has to ask now is this all this uniparty nonsense that we're dealing with? Now, the problem I have with Trump is that he's taken a strong Jewish position, which is a Zionist Jew position. He has Borla is a Jew. And like we have Netanyahu has celebrated all the Jewish leaders that led to the development of mRNA. Let me frame that correctly. That was a victory lap to show the world that Mossad has now managed to poison about 70% of the globe. And that's a truth. So that was like, look at us, look what we did to the world. You all were fools, and we are the superior race nonsense. So there is that. And then I'm going to give you the one that's going to fall into the other camp, which is based on what Trump does so well. Remember when he said he was going to have the Muslim ban? He blew up the world media and internet. He blew it up. And he's done this over and over. And the thing is that what Trump did by blowing it up is he forced the optic onto something that nobody was paying attention to. And he threw the left into left orbit into about somewhere up near Saturn, which is good anyway because they worship Saturn. So it just literally blew everything up. So the question that you also have to ask on this, and this is why this entire response of his is so unclear, is you have Joe Biden, who's a bumbling fool at the State of the Union speech. The last thing that you would have expected President Trump to comment on was the vax. It's the one thing he did comment on. And the only reason I point this out is it did exactly what I just said. It has blown up the internet, but it also blew it up on MAGA's side. Why is that important? And only time will tell on this. I'm going to be clear. I'm not making any predictions, but the fact of the matter is that Q folks, a good percentage of Q folks that were supposed to save the world with meme cannons, that group, and MAGA took the vax. That's the bottom line. About 40% of MAGA took the vax. And had they not had the vax, they wouldn't have voted for him. I guarantee it. They would have walked away from Trump. And that's the one thing they had to have. I stand by the theory that they knew they were going to lose the election and that whole thing was a trap anyway. I don't care how it turns out that elite faction, Trump's elite faction, drew in the other side to expose them. And the only way they could do that was to have the number of votes so over the top that they had to throw everything at the fire. I believe that because the evidence shows that. It's like it went way off the rails. So that would not have happened had Trump not had the shot. And where the biggest weakness would have been within MAGA because a whole bunch of MAGA people took the shot. Now, we've pivoted long past that now. And then there's the whole other part of the group of people that he was talking to that he knew were probably smart enough to figure it out. And I say this, whether or not Trump did this intentionally, the sentiment of what he did actually saved lives, which I've talked about infinitely for the last 3 years. I mean, he'd saved lives. Why? Because when he spoke about the shot, people are like, you've got to be kidding me. I remember when this thing was first coming out, and I was literally on his Twitter account going, don't do this, until they muted me so my tweets couldn't be seen. That's funny. But that's the whole picture. So there's about three possibilities. Like I said, I've come out with three possibilities of what this response of Trump can be. Again, we have the, my ego's so big, I have to be satisfied, and I'm going to tweet it out. And that can be established by patterns that he's done without a problem. We have the one here, which is, I'm one of them. You're getting played. I was bought off by Big Pharma. And that is reinforced by Mom's kill shot question, which is, why isn't the left attacking him on this? Which is a great question. I mean, this is a major, major effort in the political fight. And this is one of his greatest weaknesses that would be so easy. And there's a kind of two answers to that why they wouldn't use it. Either they're all working together or they're all guilty together, to be honest, because you expose it and this thing blows up and then everybody looks like, oops, that hemp necklace is starting to look real good, which we know anyway. And then you have the third element, which is this is an intentional shaking up to force the discussion back onto the vaccine and to show and to get people to start exposing the truth more. I can't tell you which one it is. What I do know is if that third one is the actual answer, then you have to look to Trump at some point. And this is the litmus test of the whole thing. If Trump is going to really listen to his base like they claim he's going to, then at some point he has to make a pivot. And he has to come out and he has to acknowledge that he was wrong, that he was misled, however you want to say it, and that he's going to do something about it. I will tell you honestly, if he pulls that card out of the hat, he literally becomes one step off of being a king. And I don't wish that, but that's the truth. Because then they'll be like, a president that speaks truth and is now going to bring justice. I mean, that's literally what it becomes. RFK Jr. has been outspoken about this. He said that Trump has not learned his lesson. There's been a lot of people that have spoken into this, and it's a significant issue. And it brings up that same topic I've talked about all the time. And this is the bottom line for the people as far as I'm concerned. I don't care whether you love Trump or hate Trump. I really don't. Okay? I don't care whether you love RFK, hate RFK, love Biden, hate Biden. I don't care. What I can't stand is the duplicity of judgment that goes on in this world that we have. If you are going to attack Biden and you are going to be trying to inflict moral damage upon him for the insane and morally bankrupt person that he is, you cannot throw stones at one and not face the one that you worship, which would be Trump. And that goes vice versa. I'm going to draw your attention to John 8, which is the adulterous woman, and this quote, "He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." And of course, they all walked away. If you're going to throw stones at Biden, you're going to have to be willing to throw stones at who you're supporting. And we know absolutely, without question, there can be no debate on this anymore. This vax is killing people, thousands and thousands, more likely millions. And the person that signed off, and this will be, and just so I point this out, on the 16th of March, we arrive at this anniversary, four-year anniversary mark of 15 days to flatten the curve with the national emergency order signed by President Trump that gave authority to every one of these tyrants in the states to shut down businesses and run people's lives into the ground and to arrest people for violating mask policy. That was 4 years ago. Trump signed it. You can't walk away from that. You can't walk it back. You've got to own it. And that's like I'm speaking to Trump right now and his team. You better start owning what you did, and you can own it and you can give explanation. That's fine. But you don't get to sidestep it. You don't get to put a bunch of buttercream icing because it's still a big fat turd that you were part of. And it literally, it screwed up thousands of lives in this nation. And then round two of this was Operation Warp Speed. And whatever you, and this is literally, I'm the father of the vax moment. I'm here to save the world. The vax is going to save humanity. And that was said by him, not me. You don't get to walk away from that statement any more than Biden gets to walk away from, you know, the billions that he put into advocating for Ukraine or the support he's given to Israel to annihilate 13,000 children. You don't get to walk away from these. So if we're going to throw stones at one, throw stones at the other. That's the walk of Jesus right there. And this is what everyone's getting messed up on. They're all trying to take sides in this political fight. You know what? We don't win that way. We win by walking that line of Jesus. It'll take you, you can wait until 24 hours before the election and you'll know who to vote for. Trust me. Just pray on it and they'll reveal and the truth of the people will reveal. And by the way, just for the sake of conversation, just to shake the cage a little bit because it's fun, don't rule out RFK Jr. He's an independent. He's sitting on the outside. Everybody's looking past him. But if Trump doesn't pivot right on this thing and come back and support the people, I will guarantee you a large mass of veterans are going right to RFK Jr. And his momentum's going to pick up because he's the one man that has said openly he will hold all accountable in this vax to investigation and to legal persecution. I should say execution, be a better word. So he will hold them accountable. And that's a big deal. And just as a sidebar on this, which is inside baseball for you, RFK Jr. was talking to President Trump about vax stuff until the FDA and the mob of the pharmaceutical tyrants encircled him. And then he ceased to take RFK's texts or calls, and they would no longer allow RFK to visit the White House. That's a pretty big deal. Now, I'm not telling you what that is. I mean, if you're going to play the, you know, Trump is hiding in plain sight and he's secretly going to do this and he's got a team of military people that are advising him how to be covert and he's outsmarting the deep state and I don't care, whatever you want to do. At the end of the day, we have to go by what we see. And I'm not going to deny the fact that there's a lot of strategy going on here. And there is. There's a lot of gameplay. Whether or not we are part of that gameplay in a real level or whether we are simply pawns on the board still remains to be seen. But the fact of the matter is myself, as a person that sits here every single day, twice a day, and I look at somebody until I get better understanding of this situation, and I hope I do, I can't openly say, yep, I'm going to support Trump for presidency. And this is why. Because when I weigh 22 million people, as actually under Biden, it's about 12 million people coming across the border, including terrorists, and I weigh the signing off of a death shot that somebody wants to take credit for that has killed millions of people and injured millions more. That is an attack on innocence, and it was persuaded by him himself, the president of the United States at the time. That's a greater crime to me. And it's a moral bankruptcy I can't justify. The immorality there is beyond measure. So even with an explanation, I'm going to have a hard time swallowing that pill. And it's literally something that we have to sit back and look at. I mean, I'm telling you, you need to vote your moral beliefs, not your emotions on this election. And that's it. So you got to face it, right? And I will assure you that when you start pursuing accountability, wherever that leads, it takes you. I've said many times that this nation is not going to shift until that local kindergarten teacher and that local doctor and that local nurse that were jamming this vax in people's arms and pushing that COVID con nonsense face a tribunal for the charges that they for crimes against humanity. And I mean this because at that point in time, America's finally going to wake up and go, oops. And then you're going to start watching the rats run for the hills because there's no hiding at that point. We're getting there faster than people realize. And so, you know, part of this calculus that Team Trump may be doing, if this wasn't some intentional thing to blow up the conversation and it was just a tweet by Trump, or I guess they call it a truth because he did it on Truth Social, it may be they are literally that tone deaf to the reality of what's going on in the main body politic of this country. People are not the same as they were in 2016. They are not the same as they were in 2020. They are awake and they are wanting accountability. We've lived with this nonsense for a long time. It's kind of like this thing, and people go, well, you know, you got to show them sometimes. So instead, we'll let Biden take power, and in the process, we'll let 13,000 children in Gaza get killed, and that's just war, folks. I mean, if that's really the mentality of the people running this war, I'm going to be like, yeah, we got some psychopaths that are taking over for psychopaths. Seriously. If that's about where we arrive, then you better, like, we're getting replacing one psychopathic group with another psychopathic group. And I can't do that. I mean, that's not humanity. We the people have the power. So the final part of this is, before we move on, what I've done here, what Alex Jones is doing here, what General Flynn is doing here, it's what I keep saying you have to do. We don't get the option in a republic to sit by and go, yeah, but I don't really want to call him out on something because I'm afraid people won't vote for him. Wrong. These are representatives of the people. You call them out for what they do wrong. You can still support them, but you have to speak truth. And if you speak loud enough, they'll either hear you and they'll pivot and listen. He's got a huge messages coming out at him now. So either he pivots and starts listening, or you know the truth of the heart of the person. And if the truth of the heart of the person isn't going to do the right thing, pivot and shift to somebody else. That's that easy. You got to break away from this mob and sheep mentality. Like, well, they're all voting for Trump, or we'll lose it, we'll go to Biden. I'm giving you a third one, and there's more out there than that. But RFK is a legitimate option. I'm not telling you I'm going to vote for him or not. But my point is, we've got to get past this bipolar mentality as well. It's not just like him or him. It's like there's others. Vote for the right leader that will lead this nation under the principles of the Constitution. And this is my last little piece on this. I keep asking myself, like, how is this going to happen? A man's going to come in and write an executive order, and suddenly our Border Patrol that is now violating the Constitution because they're letting people in is going to start doing the right thing because of a new executive order? That's moral bankruptcy that's running our nation. And we've got tyrannical power running out of the seat of the presidency. That's not the way this republic was intended to run. I have major issues here. So for those Trumpsters that are here, and I know we've got some, if that offends you, I'm sorry. And if you're going to give me this thing like we're at war, we're not in a declared war. Let's be clear. And what we do know is that somewhere in here, FEMA's got a whole bunch of power, and I don't know what they're doing in the lurking shadows behind us. And I know that we've got still a very active SES class. So we don't have an active war that we know of. He called himself a wartime president. Okay, that's fine. But there hasn't been an act of war declared by Congress. That's the right way. This is what I'm getting at. So we're getting a lot of things here that we're coming to a point of needing truth, bottom line. And of course, I know there's many answers like, when you see the truth, you'll totally understand it. Well, okay. I see pretty well. Between what I study, what I know, and what God gives me, I see pretty well. And what I see here is a bunch of institutions of men that are corrupt and not enough focus on our Lord and Savior and not enough focus on the Holy Spirit and not enough focus of walking with Jesus and way too much focus of getting into this bipolar nonsense of politics. And that can't be. We just can't do that. Now, with this comes yet another bombshell today, and I'm backing this up with another. If you remember, we had an interview the other night with Alex Stovall. And this is interesting, coming right on the heels of that. Alex Stovall was smeared by a Project Veritas piece. And since then, Alex Stovall has received the full footage as from Project Veritas of what they edited down. It was an hour-long interview with Alex Stovall that they cut down to 4 minutes. And in the hour-long interview, he doesn't say anything of what they made him look like he said in the 4 minutes. Okay, so guess what? It happened again today. Project Veritas and the O'Keefe Group have now released the footage of the entire whistleblower for Pfizer. And there's a ton of stuff in here they didn't release that completely changes the criminality at Pfizer. And as this article goes along, this is an article in Zero Hedge. And you read along here and you've got this example and that example and all these other people and characters that they had captured that were critical to understand the depth of the corruption of Pfizer. None of which we ever saw. And then, we have this line. This is a guy that was the whistleblower that produced this two-hour documentary, by the way. And then we have this. His name is Leslie. Leslie's two-hour-long documentary on his experience at both Pfizer and O'Keefe's companies concludes with an interesting note. In bold, James O'Keefe attended an outing at Bohemian Grove. Huh. I'm sure that was just another little episode to just go out there and warm your feet by the fire and roast marshmallows. Yeah. Okay. And reason I say this is the second claim. We have Alex Stovall the other day, and you heard it on the interview. He's talking about, in general, what happened with Project Veritas. And then we get this now. And I'm like, okay, that's two claiming the same thing. That these footages were held back and we only got snippets of what the real thing was. What that is telling me, or let me rephrase this so I'm very careful in what I say. What that is suggesting to me is somebody's playing the role of controlled opposition. Not the Bohemian Grove would ever produce anything like that. And I'm sure if you asked O'Keefe, he would tell you he was on an investigation to get there as he watched children being raped. Oh, I'll tell you. This is just sickness of it. This is a great quote from Plato. Those who are able to see beyond the shadows and lies of their culture will never be understood, let alone believed by the masses. Yeah, there we go. NPCs out here, non-player characters. There's a whole bunch of them. And you think it's bad. Listen to this interview. This one will blow your mind. Take a listen to this.
How old are your granddaughters?
They are 6 and 8.
Would you support them to get hormone blockers to become the other gender?
I would absolutely support them to get hormone blockers. The idea of one of my granddaughters learning that they're going to start having their period if they don't get their hormones blocked, even though they're identifying and portraying as a male. How horrible that would be. So yes, definitely.
If your granddaughter came to you and wanted to get a tattoo, what would you say?
That would be more difficult. I always told my 3 sons, the one thing I ask is please don't get tattoos.
Really? Why tattoos?
There's just something so permanent about it.
Permanent?
It's pretty permanent. It's very difficult to get them lasered off or removed.
You don't think it's like permanent to change your gender?
Crickets! This is America. Welcome to America! Oh my gosh. I'll tell you. I went to Afghanistan for 3.5 years to defend this stuff. I don't even know what to say. I really don't. I mean, there's stuff in here I'm just shaking my head at. This is unbelievable. And it's getting worse because we're falling deeper and deeper into the pit, into the abyss of non-believer. And people are so disconnected and it's so unreal. As you know, there's this big issue going on in Haiti, which you should know if you don't know. Pay attention to it because it's a big deal. And there's been an escape of all these criminals from prison that just happened to be very well equipped and happened to know how to shoot really well. And it just so happens that the dude that's leading them, his name is Barbecue. Now, I'll let you figure out why you might get that name as a gang member, okay? But here is the great one. Yeah. He's got the Masonic symbol hanging out of his chest with the compass and the ruler and the eye in the middle. Yeah, that's the latest picture of him. I'm sure This has nothing to do with intelligence agencies trying to mobilize a war on our southern border to create chaos, to put more people into famine, to create more world crisis, to create more turmoil. And at the same time, what always happens when you get turmoil and crisis, especially in Haiti, everyone should almost sing it in chorus. Children go missing. Every time. Every time. You close down Epstein Island, don't worry, we'll still pull up the tugboats along the way. Load up the children. And that's ultimately the core of what we're dealing with right here. Always the same thing. Sickness as sickness goes. It's a sickness of the mind. It's a sickness of the soul. It's a sickness of the moral base of this world. And ultimately, and men, I'm speaking to us all, the weakness of men. If we had men standing up right now and literally standing on those moral strength that Christ had, none of this garbage would be happening. You know, it's just, it's really unbelievable. In other interesting news, which I'm sure that this is all yet another coincidence, I'm going to play an interview here from the Boeing whistleblower, John Barnett, which just so happens that he was found dead in his truck after not showing up for the interview regarding a case directed at Boeing. Isn't that interesting? But this interview was done just days before, and then suddenly he died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head. I'm sure it's just a coincidence.
737 problem. It's a Boeing problem. And I know the FAA's gone in and they've done due diligence and inspections to assure that the door plugs of the 737 are installed properly and the fasteners are torqued properly. But my concern is, what's the rest of the airplane? What's the rest of the condition of the airplane? And the reason my concern for that is, back in 2012, Boeing started removing inspection operations off their jobs. So it left the mechanics to buy off their own work. So what we're seeing with the door plug blowout is what I've seen with the rest of the airplane, as far as jobs not being completed properly, inspection steps being removed, issues being ignored. My concerns are with the 737 and the 787. Because those programs have really embraced the theory that quality is overhead and non-value added. So those two programs have really put a strong effort into removing quality from the process. When I first started working at Charleston, I was in charge with pushing back defects to our suppliers. And what that meant was I'd take a group of inspectors and actually go to the supplier and inspect their product before they sent it in. Well, I'd taken a team of four inspectors to Spirit AeroSystems to inspect the 41 section before they sent it to Charleston. And we found 300 defects. Some of them were significant that needed engineering intervention. When I returned to Charleston, my senior manager told me that we had found too many defects and he was going to take the next trip. So the next trip he went on, he took two of my inspectors. And when they got back, they were given accolades for only finding 50 defects. So I pulled that inspector aside and I said, did Spirit really clean up their act that quick? That don't sound right. And she was mad. She said, no. Said the two inspectors were given 2 hours to inspect the whole 41 section and they were kicked off the airplane.
And there you go. This is more corruption, corruption, corruption. By the way, if you're flying, think twice these days. Seriously, besides the transgender pilots that are now flying that are probably more concerned about what sexuality and what they're wearing, men wearing dresses, women doing whatever they do. You are dealing with a corrupted airframe and decreased maintenance. Notice that all of this infrastructure stuff that we're dealing with is post-vax. And it's not an accident. This whole vax was designed to break down people and break down human-based systems so that the systems we relied on were no longer functional. And what do you do to replace the shortfall besides bring in 12 million illegal aliens that will now become your police force and your military? What you do is you replace most of these systems with AI systems that will now rule you and control you, but give you the assurance that a computer is smarter than humans. And this is literally by design. This is the great reset we're living through. And it's, again, like it or not, folks, and I'm dead serious about this, when you look at the bigger movement of things and you ask yourself, how are we going to move forward? If you're going to go back, you have to go back to the 16th of March. Who signed the emergency order? You have to go to Operation Warp Speed. Who signed off on the vax? Until we get some clarity on what this whole thing is about, my whole thing is like, trust the plan. What's the plan? Literally, where are we going with this? Because what is coming out here is the trust the plan is leading us into this dystopian hell that's being run by an AI. And the only way you pivot through this and the only way you get through this is defiance and standing firm on the rock of faith and speaking Jesus into everything. Because this is literally like Satan trying to, you know, take control of everything. It's not going to happen. Well, unless you want it to, and that's your walk, not mine. We are dealing with a constant problem. And if you listen to Colonel McGregor's speech that he did as a counter to the State of the Union, he did his own State of the Union, which was about 12 minutes. And I commend him for this. And we played it on the show the other day. And I commend Colonel McGregor for this. And this is why. He's retired, but he's the first one of substance that has spoken out besides myself and a few others that have literally noted that we are losing about 750,000 children a year. This isn't, the mainstream media is going to tell you that's a lie. I've told you that many times. They're going to try to tell you that most of those things were like disputes. It's like, okay, wait a minute, how'd that work? So we have literally like, according to them, well, it's only like 30,000 kids a year that go missing, as if that's okay. That's the nice way of, it's not 750,000. Please don't think that. It's only 30,000 children. That's like, Israel has a right to defend itself, including the 13,000 children that they mutilated, slaughtered, and the 1 in 5 children that are still alive that are now missing a limb. We must justify this because we have a right to defend ourselves. That's the Israeli talking point. Yep. And we're building a dock, by the way, on Gaza so we can walk supplies to the shore, but officially not have boots on the ground. No exaggeration. That's the talking point coming. We don't have boots on the ground, but we're bringing supplies and humanitarian relief in as they're now offering former soft operators $30,000. Let me get this right. $800 to $1,000 a day to run security on that. So they're going to contract it through Blackwater or other agencies as contractors. And with their benefit of that, they have no liability. If a contractor dies, they don't have to note it as a U.S. soldier. And if a contractor dies, they do not have to pay benefits. So they're creating an invisible security force on the ground in Gaza, paying them $800 to $1,000 a day. You have to be a former SOF operator, and they'll hire you to go in and help move the food into the area and supplies, but the food delivery people that will be U.S. personnel will not put boots on the ground because they'll be walking on a dock that we're building that leads up to the beach. I'm not exaggerating. You can't make this stuff up. In the network of all of this, so that leads us always back to the same inroads. And who is that? We should know. It's always going to be the same people. It's always Mossad at the back of this that are moving kids across the globe that are in bankrupting nations that are literally going in and getting every one of our congressmen blackmailed because of their CODEL trips over across the way that they're having sex with minors. And then they get photographed and like, oops, couldn't have seen that one coming. I was so desirous to have child sex that I just went ahead and did it. And you told me it was going to be a good time. And they're like, yes, Mr. Congressman, I see. But we've got photographs of you. Now you'll do what we tell you to do. So that leads to the problem of stopping the child sex trafficking. And then we get down to this other problem of implanted or installed DAs in the big cities, which are backed by George Soros and others. And that fund, and George Soros is an enigma. It's his money that stick DAs in that will allow these sort of criminals to run free while they defund the police and hire illegal aliens, likely cartel members, to run your police forces. This is literally happening right now. I need you to understand that in the big cities. Because this is how you legalize and mainstream the child sex trafficking industry, and this is how you empower the pedophiles in this nation that are already in power. And men, I'm going to speak to you again. And I swear this is, I'm absolutely convinced beyond measure anymore that this is the entire problem of our nation. I'm just going back and I'm looking at, in my head, I keep going back and seeing these images of all these men that are sitting in these board meetings, with school board meetings, and they're sitting there with their kind of head down, and the women are up there like calling out to protect their children to get the pornography off the bookshelves, and the men are saying nothing. Why? I am willing to put money on this. Prove me wrong. That the majority of the men in those meetings are themselves addicted to porn. Prove me wrong. because they're like, whoops. And now if I start talking about porn here on the bookcases and then I get home and my son's going to go, Daddy, or my daughter's going to go, Daddy, how come you have Playboy in the closet? Or worse, why did I see this on your computer? Pornography is how they've neutered the men in this nation. And they've weakened it so much down to the level that men just don't have strength. And because they don't have strength, we are getting run over by pornography. And with pornography comes more addiction to more sexual material, which ultimately leads us to addiction to the worst, most horrible type, which is child pornography, and that creates an industry. And when you create an industry, you create a demand. And when you create a demand, somebody's going to fill it. And right now, we have got children flowing across this border. There's over 400,000 children that have come across this border under this administration, which we just should call the despotic tyranny of banksters that are running this, along with Wall Street and every politician, every lobbyist, everybody in D.C. Just lump them into one big pit because they're all part of it and they all know it. Maybe a couple exceptions. I'll give it that. And we have Border Patrol agents standing down like, whoa, Biden said I can't do my job by the Constitution, so I'll step back. I'll wait for President Trump to come in 3 years. In the meantime, gangs are aligning. You've got Bloods, Crips, and cartels aligning into common grounds and other gangs coming together to create mega cartels that are running these kids. And what do you think is going to happen in the cities? They're going to start taking political positions and anchoring themselves in and then replacing the police with their own. That is coming. So listen to Craig Sawman Sawyer. He is a SEAL team guy, former legend. He is going to tell you some of the truth that's going on the ground and why they can't arrest the child predators. Take a listen.
Okay, here's a quick word on what we're seeing, the dynamic of law enforcement and those in the court systems, how they're performing against child traffickers. So we know that there's a certain globalist billionaire who funds the campaigns of DAs and attorneys general and judges in all the big cities now with a specific agreement that they will not prosecute entire categories of crimes, including child trafficking. Can you imagine what a glaring conflict of interest? That's not my opinion. That's been discussed ad nauseum in Congress. You can look up all the videos and the sessions yourself. Most of you know this globalist billionaire's name. He hates our country. He topples economies for sport. And we allow him to operate directly against our nation right here.
George Soros.
And his family. Why? Corruption. So we can't run sting operations in any major city because the DA won't prosecute because they're funded and they've given him the agreement that they won't prosecute child sex crimes. So we operate in the smaller counties and people come from all over to harm the children and they incriminate themselves in the case of a sting operation and they end up in prison for it because we'll prosecute anybody that's actively stalking children to harm. Well, now we're having even the smaller counties go, well, we don't want to run sting operations because if people come from other counties to our county to harm children, then it makes it look like our crime stats are worse. And I'm like, why are we more worried about stats and political convenience and appearances than actual safety of children? My heart is just so simple. I just want people to stop harming and raping children. But we can't do that, law enforcement, when their motives are for convenience over child safety. So we've got planted DAs that are funded not to prosecute in the big cities. Small counties now, we don't want people to come from other places and because it'll make our crime stats look higher. So if we don't arrest anybody, look, it'll make the crime stats seem low, and that's great for our mayor or our chief of police or sheriff or whatever. So by not arresting the predators, it looks and sounds better. Can you imagine, folks, what God Almighty must think when he's looking down upon us, going, what are you doing down there? What are you doing, my children? It breaks my heart. It's very upsetting. And there's a third dynamic that in the case of a sting operation, specifically, they don't want to throw that net out in the blind with us because they've seen us arrest federal agents, LDS church elders, army recruiter, illegal aliens. Anybody that comes to harm the children and incriminates themselves in the process, we'll put them in prison. We'll prosecute. But they're afraid that it may be the sheriff's brother or the mayor's son or something that gets caught in that net, and they don't want that. So, folks, please, American citizens, assert yourselves and demand that the priority shift to the safety of the precious and the innocent and purest children rather than political convenience of people that are not willing to safeguard the children, folks. We could do a lot more when we have law enforcement and a judicial system that'll drop the hammer on the predators rather than make excuses on why they can't, okay? Thank you for your prayers and your support for Veterans for Child Rescue. God bless.
Amen. Good message and truth, right? So here's some more truth. This is interesting. This is the shaman guy. Remember him from J6? He's now apparently running for office. I want you to listen to what he has to say because you've heard this before. What he's going to say, you heard it here from me about how this game works and how they control you. Listen to it. This is on Tucker. Tucker interviews him. Here you go.
You were arrested and then charged. Did you tell anybody? Well, wait a second. No, I was led into the chamber by law enforcement. I didn't do anything. I wasn't armed. I don't seek insurrection. I'm totally nonviolent. Did you say that to anybody?
Absolutely. I told the FBI when they arrested me. I told my lawyer. I told the prosecutor, but it didn't fit the narrative. So this is the thing about PSYOPs. PSYOPs are about using what's called neuro-linguistic programming. That's the use of words or linguistics to create a pattern in the subconscious portion of people's brains by using trigger words and trigger images, triggering certain like instinctual responses, using words like deadly insurrection, violent insurrection, weapons of mass destruction, or deadly virus, etc. These things trigger these instinctual responses in the subconscious brain. And because the subconscious brain is most of our neurological activity, if you can hijack the pattern in somebody's subconscious brain, you can hijack their conscious perception of reality.
Makes you wonder who that guy really is. I swear he's talking language that comes right out of PSYOP training and high level too, by the way. Whatever. He's on point. That's it. And they get these trigger words embedded in everybody, and that's how they got everybody to get toilet paper, by the way. That was a test. I keep telling you that. The hoarding of toilet paper was a test. The good stuff here, okay? And it's important because it's coming out from the least places you'd expect. But I don't care what his background is. He just spoke some major truth. And it's awesome. Okay. Here's the thing. Got a couple good things to think about before we go. There is hope. All right. There is hope. And we're starting to see hope in different places as well. Here's a story about a 17-year-old student that was told to remove his American flag at school. And he refused. Here you go.
Wherever 17-year-old Cameron Blazik goes, so does Old Glory.
The flag itself represents this country, this beautiful country that we live in.
He fastened the flag to his truck this summer.
It's very strongly secured in there. I mean, you can't pull that out if you tried.
It abides by the U.S. flag code.
I got pulled aside by my counselor and vice principal, and they told me, hey, you got to remove the flag off the back of your truck. And I kind of looked at him, and I said, no. I said, it's not going to happen. I said, I can't.
Cameron held the line.
Read through East Central's 2023-2024 handbook, and the word flag wasn't even mentioned in the parking lot or driving section. The only section it's mentioned in is the flag twirling section.
Boy.
The next day at school, others showed up with flags of their own.
There was a huge support group there that believed and stood for the same thing that I did, and I was kind of shocked by that.
That's when the principal sent a letter to parents Friday to, quote, address recent concerns and confusions, writing, I am pleased to inform you that we are allowing the display of the U.S. flag by students in the parking lot. Principal Black clarified to WCPO in an email that there has never been a complaint about the U.S. flag. One literally hangs above the parking lot, and that school administrators decided Friday they would, quote, prohibit other flags if they were determined to be offensive. A social media post about all this went viral.
I was pretty surprised by it that it got so many views and pretty much that it got the attention it did.
There are veterans in this family, and Cameron himself is considering serving.
Yeah, I'm pretty proud of him. He stood his ground and stood up for what he believed in.
The American flag has been politicized in recent years. One poll shows 83% of Republicans have a very positive view of the American flag. That number drops to 49% for Democrats.
I think everybody gets offended over something that doesn't mean what everybody says it does. This flag represents our country and the people who died for it and fought for it, and I respect that with my whole heart.
Old Glory, sparking new debate.
Yeah, that would be 49% of Democrats, most of which are intellectual elites and ill-programmed by the deep state institutions of indoctrination and brain blendering. I'll tell you right now, unbelievable. But here's another one for you, and I love this piece here because this story is personal, and this poor story is about God. Hang on just a second.
You know Oliver Anthony? Richmond, North of Richmond, the song. He's a 35-year-old male living in the Bible Belt in southern wherever, and he's a drunk, and he drives a old car that barely runs, and he's working in a dead-end job, and he's just fed up with himself. And he decides, I'm going to quit drinking, and I'm going to give my life to God. And he said, I decided to stop making it about myself and start making it about other people. And God gave him a song called Richmond, North of Richmond. And somebody with an old Samsung phone recorded him playing it in the woods and posted it on TikTok. It became the number one song in the USA. He was the first artist not signed to a label to ever reach number one Billboard charts in the history of the world. You want to tell me that you're not one idea away from that magical future? You don't understand how this thing works. But he's one of so many people like that. Those examples are all around us. They just look different.
And it's just but God. That's it. This thing is not that difficult at the end of the day. You just got to buckle up, anchor in, get your faith strong, lean into Jesus every day. Forget all this other stuff. Stay true in what we're doing and stand and be ferocious. Be a lion. Got to have a lion's heart. These people are corrupt. We have their sickness around us. We know that. And so the question always comes down, what do I do? Someone will always ask it, what do I do? What do I do? So what did we do last night? We did a great show last night. And last night's show was literally on precinct committee. So just to follow up on that, on the show, while we had last night, we had Jason Miller on. It was fantastic. He was in Ohio, had a last minute. The whole thing was a God afternoon anyway. And if you didn't hear the show, you need to go listen to it. Because precinct strategy was all new to me yesterday afternoon until Paul Cantrell reached out to me, Pastor Paul Cantrell. I did a bunch of study, and we were short like 130-some positions in our county or more or something like that. I even heard it's higher than that. And so he tells me about it. I jump on. I start studying it. Then I get contacted by Michelle Svensson, Resistance Chick. She's like, I know you're doing the show on the precinct committee. Do you want to have, like, the guy who does precinct strategy in Ohio? He just happened to text me. I'm like, okay, yes. That's Jason Miller. He jumps on the show. We do a show. While on the show, I signed up for precinct committee. Today, I got confirmed on precinct committee. Today, I got assigned a district on precinct committee. And from what I understand, because we were short a ton of positions, I understand between the efforts of this show and the efforts of Paul and some other folks around that were doing rallying for with a couple other churches, I understand they had like 130 applications in one day, and they still have more coming in. That's winning. And this is how we take it back. So if you are not in precinct strategies, get on it. Because precinctstrategy.com, check it out. Understand with the power of this. These are powerful positions. Grassroots is where we start to change the party from within. And just so I say it, because I really want this to trigger every leftist out here. If you're wondering what our motive is, I just want to be clear. For those of you that might be listening in, deep state people, you're like, what's he going to say next? NSA, I know you got this one. DHS, I hope you're listening because you love us so much because we are literally conservative Christians. I want to be clear, and I don't want to mince any words. We're creating a Christian national movement, and we're part of it. We're proud of it, and we're flying the flag of Jesus, and we're going at you. And when we get through, you'll either repent or you're going to find a one-way trip to the lake of fire. Not hard. Pretty easy. Pretty simple. Just accept Jesus and turn away from your evil ways and your treasonous pattern, especially if you're in DHS and you're moving kids across this nation, especially if you're the FBI and you're doing illegal raids on people's homes, trying to set up Trump, trying to do all this other nonsense. Just hear me. Christian national movement's rising. And I hope that triggers you. Because if it triggers you, it means you got demons. And we're here to deliver you and here to help you. And we'll pray for you. And we'll shake those demons out. And at the end of the day, you'll be weeping before the feet of our King. And we will walk you to the glory that all he represents and the sacrifices he made for you on the cross. But if you don't, I swear, you're going to find a one-way ticket to the lake of fire. And that's got to suck. So don't. Make your life joyous. Enjoy Jesus and understand that Jesus is not some limp-wristed dude. He's literally a warrior in heart, fire, a king that carries a sword. He's got armor that makes it gleam, and he's got the greatest love in his heart. But when it comes to wrath, oh my goodness gracious. Repent. There's your answer. All right, people. Got a lot of work to do in this nation. We're going to take it back. All these other fools that are out here trying to screw it up, not going to win. We've got God on our side. There's no other way to do it. And so with that, let's pray. Father God, we are here today just humbled before you, honored and blessed to be here. And we just say, Father, just hear our hearts. We're not going to stand for this evil. And in the name of Jesus, as the children of the Most High, we step into this hour and we declare our authorities upon this land and upon this world. In the name of Jesus, we rebuke all this evil. We bind it and cast it to the feet of Jesus. And if we can, we'll even cast it to the lake of fire, a one-way trip. Father, we're going to pray for the children tonight, which is at the core of all of this, and to such a degree to start waking the hearts of people to realize what they're doing, to strip away the shell around their heart that's turned callous and cold to the greatest gift ever given, the blessing of children, to wake them up. And in waking them up, to turn their eyes to Jesus, to repent, and to stand boldly in this hour as children of the Most High, kneeling before the throne. We begin this fight on our knees. So, Father, we pray this blessing upon a nation. We pray mercy upon this nation that continues to turn its ways towards darkness. And we lift up those in the critical positions of this nation, law enforcement and politicians and banksters, people on Wall Street. May they all have an encounter with Jesus so profound that it shakes them to the core, strips them of their arrogance and their pride, leaves them humbled and having to make a choice of whom they will serve. And only at that point will we know truly where their heart sits. So, Father, we just pray this upon this nation, an encounter, a shaking, a great shaking with an encounter with Jesus. And to lift up those in this nation to truly have the fire of righteousness to burn and to go after those that are trying to do harm with children. We have to be able to wield the sword of the Spirit. We have to be able to wield the sword of steel. And we have to be able to do that as you lead our hands. We have to have the Davids. We have to have the Joshuas. We have to have the Gideons. So, Father God, we just pray for the mightiness of these armies to stand up, the unifying of the remnant tribes, the unity of the heart of Christ, the building of the church without walls, the shaking of the earth with the fivefold ministry, and the raising up of our youth to spark that light and that fire of righteousness within them, to have the Holy Spirit flow through them so they can speak truth and to give them the place to speak truth and to bring forward the miracles of the living God. Guide us, Father, in this hour. Bless us. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, patriots, literally, I'm in like a take-no-prisoners mood tonight. So, spiritually, take no prisoners. Remember, if you're eager to get in the fight, especially if you're a guy and you got an itchy trigger finger, put the gun down, turn to the Bible, start waging war on the Spirit. You have an unlimited bag limit for demons. You don't have any restrictions on how many demons you can slay. You can feel good about doing it because God's going to reward you for it. So to get at it, start slaying some demons. That's what we need. Women, you're welcome to join as well. Not limited to men. This is equal opportunity employment moment for everybody. So let's jump in and do it. All right, Patriots, Keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We're at war. So walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land. Expand the kingdom. Subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I'll see you tomorrow morning for Bended Knee. Until then or until the next time, God bless. Good night. Thank you. And out for now.
Oh, I wanna feel something. I just wanna breathe again. Dive into the deepest end. Oh, I wanna feel.